Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, specializing in bathroom projects large and small. Photo galleries at callmosby.com.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. Catherine Hanaway already possessed sterling professional credentials before Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe appointed her Attorney General. She served as the first and to date only female Missouri Speaker of the House, as well as U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Missouri. And after leaving the U.S. Attorney post and embarking on an unsuccessful bid for governor, Hanaway established a successful private sector career at Hush Blackwell, becoming the law firm's chair in 2021. Now a little over a month into her tenure in the high-profile statewide office, Hanaway is laying out her priorities, with a particular focus on fighting crime and defending Missouri's abortion restrictions. I spoke with Hanaway on Tuesday, just hours before a judge revoked the bond of St. Louis Sheriff Alfred Montgomery and sent him to jail. The conversation about Montgomery happens a bit later in this interview. I should also note that I spoke with Hanaway before she filed a federal lawsuit aimed at stifling a referendum placing a new congressional map up for a statewide vote in 2026. I first asked Hanaway how her new job as Attorney General compares to being Missouri Speaker of the House, our U.S. Attorney.
Yeah, it is very different, and I've spent some time contemplating that. As Speaker of the House, you still, you have to persuade 82 other people to agree with you in order to pass something out of the House. Then you still have to go to the Senate and the governor. As U.S. Attorney, you have a lot of autonomy, but there's still sort of main justice above you. In this job, the buck pretty much stops with me. Now, obviously, I want to coordinate and work with the governor and his team, and we represent all the departments of the state. And so those relationships are extremely important, but the final decision usually lies with me.
I think one of the most interesting things to watch here is, in some respects, you come from a completely different era of Missouri politics. Some would say a better era, because the 2000s era of Missouri politics is probably my favorite because it reminds me when I was much younger. But you're a former Kit Bond staffer and a former George W. Bush appointee in a Donald Trump world. How do you navigate the political reality now when it's so different from when you started?
Well, I'll be the first to admit that I have a lot to learn, because I've spent the last, 15 years-ish with a little bit of a hiatus to run for governor in 2016. But I've spent that time period practicing law and trying to be the best lawyer I could be, and then leading a major national law firm and trying to be the best business person that I could be, and not day-to-day consumed by what was happening in the political world. Obviously, I'm very interested and, stayed up to some degree on everything, but I don't know the people the way that I did previously, and still sort of learning the nomenclature. I've always been a conservative. I think that this is a great evolution of the conservative movement. The things that the president is accomplishing are unlike a pace that we've seen from any other president. And so, as I said, the learning curve is steep.
Several of your predecessors prioritized weighing in on federal issues, especially when there was a Democratic president in charge. Do you plan to do that as well? Are you going to be laser focused on Missouri-based issues?
So I'm going to be laser focused on making sure that we uphold the rule of law and the Constitution of the United States, and that we protect Missourians from anyone who would do them harm. That's really the agenda. And that will mean that there are times when we participate along either taking the lead or alongside other attorneys general around the country. There will also be a much bigger emphasis on things like consumer fraud, Medicaid fraud, telemarketers who would rip people off. We have a disaster recovery team that hopefully people are already calling in and utilizing our resources for things like when they get ripped off by gypsy roofers as they're trying to recover from the tornado.
You know, you mentioned something that has been on my mind every time I pick up my phone. I'm sure you have gotten a lot of texts from people that you don't know asking you, when are you coming to dinner? Or I want to meet you at the movies. And if you actually text them back, it is actually a sophisticated organized crime scam trying to bilk you out of money. Is there anything the Attorney General's office can do, considering a lot of those entities are overseas and may not be in the jurisdiction of the Attorney General's office on paper?
Well, one of the things that we can do, and one of the things I think I'm kind of uniquely positioned to do, is work in conjunction with the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's offices to get those cases reviewed, because, as you just pointed out, we have limited ability as a state enforcement authority, but we definitely have some ability to go after those people since they're victimizing Missourians. And that is the kind of thing that I want to focus on. I get those text messages too, you know, like, this is so-and-so from the IRS, and we need to talk to you about resolution of your bill. If anyone calls you and says that, it is a scam. Just, if you made the mistake of picking up your phone, I'd encourage people to say, I'll tell you what, I'd be happy to put you in touch with my lawyer, and I can reassure you that they'll just hang up at that point, and you won't hear from them again.
When you were a U.S. attorney and when you were a gubernatorial candidate, you often emphasized a desire to fight crime throughout the state. What could you do as attorney general to actually make Missourians safer?
So I think that there are a number of things, and we're working really hard on getting all of this set up right now. We will lend some of our assistant U.S. assistant attorneys general to the two U.S. attorneys offices in St. Louis and Kansas City to increase their capacity to do cases, and specifically violent crime cases, cases where it's felons in possession of firearms. We've had great conversations with both of those offices already. The next, like, kind of categorical scourge that I see that is really hurting our cities is the proliferation of illegal drugs. And it's really kind of at both ends of the spectrums. At one end, you have fentanyl, which is just, you know, taking people's lives from them at an absolutely alarming rate. And so trying to stem the flow of fentanyl into our community, but also working with local authorities to get those fentanyl abusers into either treatment or some kind of a shelter. And then with respect to marijuana, we have recreational marijuana in Missouri. There are plenty of places you can go and buy it. And yet a whole industry has cropped up around THC derived from hemp, which is kind of a loophole in the federal law, and it's being sold in gas stations, restaurants, like, and people don't know that it's an intoxicating form of marijuana and maybe highly intoxicating. There's not good testing on it. Kids can buy it, and it's really a threat to the well-being of Missourians. So we're going to be going after that really hard. And then the last thing is that we will be, you know, taking a position that anytime, and this has always been true, but I think I'm going to be more aggressive than maybe some of my predecessors in saying to local prosecutors, look, we've got capacity. How can we help you? How can we get more cases? How can we reduce the number of murder cases that haven't been resolved? And I'm fortunate that I have great relationships with Gabe Gore and with Melissa Price Smith.
So before he left to become deputy FBI director, I spoke with now former Attorney General Andrew Bailey about how his office would now be legally responsible for defending the city of St. Louis's police department in civil litigation cases. What do you think you could do on that front to make sure the city police department can function at a high level?
Well, we absolutely want to defend those cases as aggressively as we possibly can. We did get a ruling from Judge Josh Devine that makes that a little bit more complicated. He sort of reads the statute as giving us a more narrow jurisdiction to take on those cases, and that the city itself should be continuing to defend some of those cases. We will continue to work in the cases that we can to advocate in a respectful way that recognizes that there is now precedent from Judge Devine. And if we're not able to get sort of the broad scope of authority that we think the statute grants, we'll go back to the legislature and try and get that next session. That was all very technical. The short way to say this is that we want to back our men in blue, men and women in blue, however we can. It's a big responsibility the state has taken on to lead that department. And we're a small part of that, but an important part. And we are very happy to be able to play that part.
Meanwhile, the other major STL-related case you're involved in is the bid to oust St. Louis Sheriff Alfred Montgomery from office. As succinctly as you can, why do you think he needs to be removed from office?
Well, very succinctly, he's abused his power. And that is what is so scary about this case. He's abused his powers to have his deputies running his kids around on official time. He restrained one of his, he handcuffed one of his deputy commissioners, which is really a false arrest. And he used taxpayer-funded vehicles to chauffeur and supervise his children. He also refused to transport for medical care almost 60 prisoners. So on the one side of the ledger, he's abusing his power by using it to sort of enhance himself. And on the other side of the ledger, he's not doing the job. And that is the perfect set of facts for what we call a quo warranto action to remove him from office, and he should be removed from office.
A judge denied your request to remove him from office on Friday after he was indicted on federal felony charges. This is the third such request from your office, and retired Judge Stephen Ulmer said, "I am not, for the third time, going to follow through with your request to remove him. I need hard evidence of what it is and not what you say it is or what Montgomery says it is. We need to have a trial and evidence before I can make a ruling in your favor or his favor. Enough is enough," the judge says. It really sounds like some parent energy going on there where he says, don't ask again. What did you make of what the judge said of your request?
Look, I'm sure the judge is very frustrated. You know, we moved for a summary judgment, and that means that some of the facts are uncontested. We do believe the fact that he imprisoned the deputy commissioner, used resources to chauffeur his kids around, didn't transport prisoners, that all of those are uncontested. Sheriff Montgomery now is suggesting that they are contested. And so all Judge Ulmer is saying is we need to have a trial before I'm going to remove him. And we were surprised, I will say, that after the federal indictments, the judge was on felony charges, that the judge was not willing to remove the sheriff, particularly since he's on house arrest and wearing an ankle bracelet. Just don't see how he can be fulfilling his duties when he's facing all of that. But, you know, Judge Ulmer wants to get it right, and he thinks a trial is the way to get it right. And so certainly have to respect his decision.
You talked about getting in the weeds earlier, so I'm going to get a little weedy here. There is a Missouri Supreme Court case from 1995 that lays out what's known as the willful neglect standard to oust someone from office. And I think certainly a really strong case could be made that Montgomery spent money unwisely, pursued poor policy choices. The chauffeuring of the kids could be seen as not good. That's the best adjective I could think of at the moment. But again, if he's not convicted of a felony, shouldn't voters ultimately be the judge of whether that's enough to remove him from office?
Well, you pointed to willful neglect. I mean, refusing to transport 60 prisoners who needed medical care is absolutely neglect. Like, I don't think this is a close case. He is not doing the job of being the sheriff and should be removed so that we can get somebody in there who will do the job. As we face, you know, I think that crime and public safety are the biggest issues preventing St. Louis from coming back. And then we have a sheriff who's using the resources of the office to serve himself and then refusing to use them to do the job he's been elected to do. He should go.
Moving on to abortion, one of your major responsibilities going forward is defending the state's existing restrictions, especially after the passage of what's known as Amendment 3, which enshrined abortion rights into the Constitution. How do you defend the state's current laws when the Constitution guarantees the right to reproductive freedom?
Well, look, this is really a legal issue in terms of the breadth of Amendment 3. Did Amendment 3 legalize abortion and repeal every single restriction ever passed by the Missouri General Assembly? Or did it legalize abortion, but some of those restrictions stayed on the books? And I think the ballpark number is, you know, close. I shouldn't guess, but it's in the low hundreds, or so. It's a lot of statutes. We have prevailed in defending one of those, the one that requires parental consent for a minor to have an abortion. We don't know which other ones, and it may be a statute by statute basis. It's a substantial amount of litigation.
You will also be tasked with defending the new congressional map that lawmakers approved last month. Why do you think this map will withstand the litany of legal challenges that have been thrown against it since last month?
Because it is more constitutional than the prior map. It's more compact. The districts have closer to equal numbers of people in each of them. There are a number of counties that were divided under the old map that have been reunited, like St. Charles and Boone. So I think that it is a much more defensible map under what the Missouri Constitution says, which is after the census that you should draw a map that is as compact and as equal in population between districts as is possible.
The biggest argument that Republicans have said to say that it's constitutional is that the constitutional amendment that lays out the process for redistricting does not have an explicit prohibition on redistricting in the middle of the decade. I'm going to be very candid with you. It's very similar to the film Air Bud, where they argued that Air Bud could play basketball because there's no rule explicitly saying a dog cannot play basketball. Now, you are free to criticize my metaphor here, but do you think that I think that is, I mean, if the Supreme Court says, no, you can't do it mid-decade, it's over. That is the whole ball game here.
Yeah, I mean, well, obviously, when the Supreme Court makes a ruling, and we have to abide by that law. I haven't seen Air Bud. It's not a bad analogy. That is the argument. It does not. The Constitution says that redistricting shall happen after the decennial census. It doesn't say that it shall happen immediately after, that it should happen only once per decade. that it can't be revisited, during the span of the decade. There isn't a limitation. And so I don't know what happened to Bud. I'm guessing he probably didn't get to play basketball since you're using that analogy, but I think our chances of prevailing are pretty good. I mean, I think that the Constitution says what it says, and the current judicial climate is inclined to uphold the words written in the Constitution in their plain meaning.
Well, I have some good news for you, Madam Attorney General. Not only did Buddy get to play basketball, he also got to play football in the classic film Air Bud, Golden Receiver.
Man, I have missed a whole genre. I really got to catch up on that.
That was Missouri Attorney General Katherine Hanaway. She was appointed to that post last month after her predecessor, Andrew Bailey, became deputy director of the FBI. I spoke with Hanaway on Tuesday.
Today's episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.